Right. Okay. Who's, oh, we have 12 people in. All right. Thank you. Thank you. I was on another call and God, how did you get in by without me getting out of my other meeting? That's kind of interesting. Am I in as the, oh, I'm in as the, okay, good. I'm in as the leader. Great. So hi everybody. And welcome. Welcome to our NEPT implementation, content implementation call. And before we jump in, I really want to get started with chatting a little bit and welcoming our new members. I see Barbara and Donna, and who else do I see? Cindy's relatively new. She just hasn't been on. Jan, Lori, who else is new? Valerie, no, Valerie's not. Okay, yeah, so I see a bunch of you. And we started doing these content implementation calls basically back last I think we started them last January, and each month we pick a module that we're going through and explaining what's in it and how you can get the most out of it and how you can engage with it. And I think last month we did, I think the last one we did was blood sugar actually. So I have to go back through. Yeah. Blood sugar. And so we're going to keep going with this. My question that I want to put out here is for those of you who are new this year, we're going to jump into a further down the line module than you have access to. My thought was that starting in January, we will start some of these over again and have one of the certified practitioners lead it so we can start from the beginning again so that you get some support. Would that be helpful for you guys who are new? Raise your hand if you think that would be helpful, right? Yeah. So that will be January, but for now, we're going to just keep going. And what you can do is just take notes and pay attention and just get a sense of what's coming up down the line, right? So I think we're up to module 8 or 9, or I'll have to look to see what the actual module number is. Now, knowing that in January, things are shifting and we're going to be doing going to a unit version of the program. And once that's done, I'm still waiting to hear back from our developer. That should be done within the next week or so. We'll have everything organized into units, and then we'll go through on a unit basis as well. So let me see. It's opening. So before we get started, are there any questions at this point about any of the content so far, or about where you're at, or about what the best way? Donna? Yeah. Unmute.
Oh, I have a question. So I'm ready to take that first test.
Yeah.
Not the pre-test, but the actual test.
Yeah.
And my question was, is some of the test questions on the extra material, because there's no way that I will be able to, like when I watch that hypothalamus and the pituitary.
No, it's not. It's not on the extra. No. It's just on the core content. The extra stuff is to help you with repetition. And know that none of us, no matter how long we've been in practice, except those with the photographic type memories, remember every single thing. But the more you hear it, the more you see the connection. And my goal is to have you be able to understand big picture and connection, be able to pull out a book and go, huh, this is happening. I wonder if it's, yeah. So no worries on that. You have 3 times to take the test. You know, if you fail it the first time, you get to take it again. It points out which questions. Yeah, no. That's what everybody says, right? But it doesn't matter. You can fail it 3 times. And if you don't pass it after the 3rd time, then we have a conversation. We go, okay, what's up? You know, where's the misunderstanding? But we point out what questions you missed, and then you just go look them up, right? And then you get to take it again. So it's pretty straightforward. My goal is to not teach you how to be memorizers, which is what we had to do in college, you're going to memorize the basic stuff that you have to memorize just from repetition, but is to be able to know how to look things up. And it drove me nuts in college when they would ask you ridiculous questions about some obscure date or tubercle on a bone or particular thing, and you had to name it. And I was like, that's not real life. You know, if I want to remember the name of that thing, I'll look it up, right? What are all the names of every single little bump on the liver? Who cares, right? You want to know the function. You want to know the flow. You want to know how it makes sense so that in your mind, you just keep having these like programs going, huh, they said this and then that, and you're able to pull it all together. So don't worry, go for it. Get it done. Let's see how it goes, okay?
Oh, and also, is there any more likelihood that I'll be able to, I would like to know, like, how many parts in total so I can divide by, you know, 52 times 2.
Well, they're all different, though. So that's hard to say parts in total because different parts are different lengths. So you might want to know the hours in total. We do have a sheet somewhere. We just have to dig it up and, you know, but I hesitate. I mean, I can certainly do, but once we have this revamped, I'd rather give it, reorganize the spreadsheet. So mm-hmm. it goes that way. So know that module, the second module, pretty short. The third module is probably about, you know, the macronutrient one, which is the third module now, but it's not going to be the third module later, is about, I don't know, 6 hours long. Then you get into micronutrients, which is about 30 hours long. Just saying, right? And so we'll come up with a plan so that you can go through it at, right, congruent with something else so that you don't get kind of bored and sick of taking micronutrients and you want to move on. So we'll have a plan laid out for you as soon as I have the restructure. And the reason for the restructure was to have it make more sense. So great question. And we will have that. Absolutely. Okay. But not in the short term, but probably within, by the end of the year for sure. Okay?
Okay.
Great. Right. Awesome. Anything else before I go in? Okay, so usually what I do for these segments is I'll share my screen and I'll go into the modules and I'll just kind of give you a lay of the land and give you some salient points and things to be looking for as you study it. Again, since, you know, for those of you who are new, you're not up to this part yet. So, you know, just take whatever notes you think are important and know that repetition is the, what is it? It's not repetition is the mother of invention, but repetition is the mother of retention, let's just say. All right. Any other questions? I have just, okay, you have to leave at 7. Am I starting older, over? Yeah, so if we do it, we'll basically, okay, module 11, food principles. Great, that's where we're going to start. It's a fun module. And it's going to be really awesome to see what we have in here. And the other thing was, Martha, what we'll do is we will continue these, but we'll also add the second ones that start all over again. So just trying to figure out how to address people coming in at different times and working at different paces. Okay, so let me go here and let me make this bigger. And I'm going to say share and then let me know when you can see my screen. You see my screen? Okay. So the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to go to the side. This is going to look a little different later, but I'm going to go to food principles. This is one of my favorite modules of all. La, 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 la. Okay. So as I mentioned on our kickoff and orientation call, all the modules are oriented similarly. So I always recommend that you start, this page is the index page. You don't have to check any of these and you can't because as you finish each of the subparts, you will get them checked off. But I always say start with the learning objectives. What are the learning objectives? What are the things that you want to be looking for in here? And so for this, the food principles, it's like become familiar with different, what I like to call food religions. I know maybe it's not very respectful, but it's diet dogma. It's like people have their belief that this is the best diet for everybody. And in reality, it's not, right? So understand the principles supporting them. So understand and be able to explain the differences between a variety of popular diets. And we have those listed there, you know, paleo, ancestral, primal, etc., low carb, ketogenic, Western price, and all that. And we have information about all of those. Recognize signs and symptoms of client intolerance to substances like casein, gluten, thiols, oxalates, histamines, etc., etc. So once you're finished with this, you're going to have at least an understanding and then a repository of where you could go to study each of these to go, huh, I wonder if this person needs a gluten-free diet or a casein-free diet or a low histamine diet. And it's going to be much more clear to you as to what combinations of avoidances each person is going to need. And then which diet interventions or other indicated are indicated or contraindication indicated for your client. Like, who do we not put on a paleo diet? Who do we not put on, you know, a low histamine diet? Who should be? What kind of symptoms might they present with? And then help you design a healing protocol for your client with systematic monitoring and tweaking. And if you remember what we taught at Shine, it was you start with the connection, you assess, you create a plan, you get rid of the obstacles, but then you have to reassess and then go back and come up with a new plan based on where they're at that point in time. And so we're going to give you that. We've got the pretest. We all have pretests. I always like to show you that. This pretest is probably fairly substantial because there's, no, it's not. It's just about, oh, they're not listed. Oh, this is the old pretest. Isn't that interesting? Let me make a note of that. We changed them to the new format, which is putting them on, making them be a like a multiple choice, and these are different. So you can just do this if you want, but pretest, food principles. Okay. Needs to be in new format. Yeah, it may just be that it's been done, but it hasn't been uploaded. All right. So once you get there, then you go to core content and you see there's a lot of different pages in the core content, an overview, and then a page for most of the stuff that you're going to be looking at, the different kinds of diets, some additional diets that we lumped together, and then how do you put it all together? So I'll just really start with the overview. I'll pick one and then we'll do the coming together so you understand. And remember, pretests are not mandatory. Okay, why is this not going? Okay, there we go. Like all the other modules, at the top, you'll have the place where you could check it off after you watch it. And I put in download the slides and the transcripts. Why? Because a lot of people skip that part and then they go through 20 modules and they go, oh my God, it's going to take forever to download everything. Why don't you download it when you get there? So you have it on your own computer and you have the ability to play it and watch it wherever you are. So then that, watch the video and I'm going to click it to see how long it is. And it should say
hello and welcome to our food.
This is an hour and 19 minutes. So it's substantial. It's the overview of all the different kinds of food principles. And we do have a chart. We'll just figure out where that chart is and get it put in the new format. Has a transcript. You have a picture of the slides. If I show you what's in there. Oh my God, something's going on with my access because this happened earlier and I can't access these Amazon S3 files. This happened on another call. It's not that it was broken because I went and looked. Let's see if it's just, yeah, there's something going on with my firewall or something. Anyway, you will get to see those on there. I don't know why it's actually playing, but it's not allowing me to download. We'll figure that out. Because when we did on the other call, other people were able to do it, not me. You have a place to keep your notes. And then we have a quiz at the end of most of these, right? So that you know how in school, when you were in college and you had the teachers who would just give you the final and you're like, oh my God, I have to study now because you never studied throughout. And then you had the other teachers who gave you like weekly quizzes. So it made you study as you went along. I always didn't like taking those quizzes, but I always liked it better when I was forced to keep up. And that's what we kind of do for you. So if you come up with some of these and you don't understand, you know, how to answer it, you can just go back and listen or read the transcript and figure it out. Okay. Any questions so far? Okay. So let's pick one. Let's pick one to open up and take a look at. Who would like to just randomly pick one? Anyone in particular you want to know more about? What about histamines? What about
anti-candida?
Anti-candida. Okay. So we go to the anti-candida. Right. And you know, you can, another thing I would recommend too on things that have a quiz that's right after, when you look at the quiz, it will help you to go to understand what some of the important points are so that you're looking for those answers as you go through. Right. And here we have a Q&A. So we had, these were recorded live in front of, you know, our audience. And then we had a Q&A. So we actually put the Q&A for all the questions that people had for it. So this is the presentation, all nice and edited. And this is probably a longish one. Let's see, is it playing? I don't know that I'm going to be able to do this. It's a problem. There's a problem with my access. Let me just check to see if I'm connected to a different. Can you guys go check and just click on some of this? I think it's the same problem I had earlier where I can't get in. There's something going on with a firewall. Maybe. Oh, maybe it's my Windows security that it's blocking me. Is anybody else having any trouble clicking on these things? Yeah, see, it's doing that same thing. Maybe I'll be able to go through this. Darn it.
Dr. Rita Marie, they were working because I checked them before the call.
They are working. So there's something going on my computer. I could, if someone else wants to share their screen, I can walk you through it and just tell you. Do you want to share your screen, Valerie? Would that
sure. work?
All right. I'll stop my share. It'll be kind of weird. It's like a puppet, I'm doing, you're doing the actions and I'm doing the words.
Okay, let me get over there.
Okay.
Can you see my screen yet?
It's getting there. It says you started it, so it should take a few seconds. There we go. Yeah. So just click the link there and just let's just see how long it is. I always like to know how long things are at the beginning, like Donna said.
It's an hour and 3 minutes and 27 seconds.
An hour and 3 minutes and 27 seconds. There you go. All right. So that way you know how much time to budget, right? I don't have that long. Okay, I'm going to go this far. What I recommend is if you can't finish, say you have 45 minutes, you're going to get through. Scroll down a little bit, Valerie. There's a section where it should say notes. See the notes here? Mm-hmm. You can always say... You know, put the date and say 10/22/19, finish the first 45 minutes so that you know when you come back to pick up where you left off. Right. So that's what that's why we put the notes fields in there. So you know what you did.
Yeah.
Okay. So scroll up again and then click on where it says slides printer friendly. And we'll give you a sense. Printer friendly always has like three per page and then you can, so you don't have the big ones, but.
That's interesting for me now.
Wow. It was working right before you said?
Yes.
Try the other ones, the full. Oh, weird.
Yeah, I checked the whole module before the call.
Oh, wow.
Let's try the transcript.
Mine's doing it too.
Yours doing it too now. All right.
Okay. Then, all right.
We are going to have to figure out what's going on because it's clearly not the whole site. It's not our site. We host all these things on Amazon S3, which is, you know, Amazon's big server. So we're going to have somebody check in with Amazon to see what's going on with that, whether it's our access, whether they're down or what. But,
I got as far as Valerie and then it went to Amazon no access.
Yeah, so it's the Amazon piece.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all the stuff. Because this stuff, what you're seeing is our host. It's on our site, right? The website itself. But these downloadables are on Amazon. So there must be something screwy with the Amazon site. So I'm going to have to look at that. Okay, so here's what I'd recommend we do. Can you scroll up again so we can see let's go through the others first, the other pieces, show you what's there. And then we'll come back and maybe we'll just pick some of these and just talk about them, tell you what to look for. So click on advanced topics. Yeah.
Come on. Okay.
Come on, baby.
There it is.
There's a lot of different resources for you on a lot of different diets. So again, for additional stuff that you want to know, some general stuff, raw foods, Ayurvedic. Keep scrolling. Let's see what else we have here. Hippocrates, where Donna's going next week, Ayurvedic, Western Price. So we've got links to either their sites where people have come up with these diets or some additional stuff that you can look up. Okay. And then there's some extras, the hazards of paleo. This is a thing that I did, hazards of paleo, keto, and plant-based diets. Let's scroll down, see what else we have here.
That was it. And I could not get this video to work, the hazards of paleo.
It's stored on the same thing. It's
okay.
Stored on the same place. So.
All right.
Oh, okay. Scroll up again. Let's see what else we have. Advanced done for you resources. How about that one? Yeah, so on the done for you resources, you've got a lot of stuff related to elimination and provocation and suspicious foods. We should make a note to put on there. I have a really cool, it's on another page, but the SCD SIBO, might as well put it on the done for you so everything's on the same page. And it talks about how do you help people to eliminate, right? Because the same way as you would eliminate for allergies, like you just eliminate whatever you're suspicious of. So if you're suspicious, they may have a histamine problem or a salicylate problem. You look at the list that we've given you and you know what foods they would need to avoid. You have them avoid that. And then you do the provocation, meaning put them back in one at a time and monitor to see how they do. So we've given you a lot of that on the done for you page. I don't know if not all modules have assignments. I think this one does. Click this.
It does.
It does. Okay. So you do a report. So I don't think we'll be. Oh no, that's a Google Doc, so that should work.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So basically, you're going to write a paper on a particular. You're going to pick one of these food principles like that you're really fascinated with, say you want to know more about the Weston Price diet. So you do some research and it gives you the instructions on writing a paper. You can choose your topic from these lists if there's something else that's not on this list. And then there's a link to a spreadsheet. We have guidelines on how to do your research and how to put a report together. You know, there's styling and these are based on like, you know, research report conventions. And then go scroll up a little bit. And it tells you, it tells you where to upload it. So there's a file up
right here
where you can upload
right there.
It. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's one of your assignments. We review it. It gets checked off. We have a master spreadsheet that has everybody's names on one axis and then all the assignments and modules on another. And we just check it off and say, okay, Donna's done. Valerie's done. Martha's done. Yeah. And then, and we do this, you know, why do we do this? This is not just a program that you sign up for and then you get a certificate at the end that says you completed. We want competency. We want to show that you've mastered some of this stuff and that you're really good at this. And so, of course, we're not going to make you write a report on every single one of these, right? That would be crazy. But we do want you to pick one and make it something that you can actually give to your clients that you could share with each other. What else we have? Assignment. Next steps. Yeah, what's next steps?
Dr. Rita Marie?
Yeah.
So how many different modules have where you're going to be like writing a research report?
Do you have any idea, Valerie?
I can pull up my handy spreadsheet. So in foundations, there's only maybe three. When you get to mastery, there's more.
Okay.
Does that help?
So you said three?
In the foundation in this first section.
Yeah, this first section, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the mastery has more when you get to that portion.
And what we can do is once we get the whole thing reorganized, we can take what you've put together here and then let's just create a summary sheet for people.
Okay.
It says which ones have assignments and then everybody can keep track of their own stuff too. Which ones have assignments and how many hours the different videos are. And we'll just kind of make a really nice little handbook for people
to
guide them through. Yeah. Yeah.
I actually already made an assignment spreadsheet somewhere. I have to pull it up.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Let's go back. Okay, we're back here.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Do you give any additional information throughout the course about doing research? Like, I've tried going on PubMed in the past, and people have said that's a really good source for information, but I find that a lot of the articles I don't have access to. And I thought, you know, other than the, just the abstract, for example.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, the only way around that is you pay a lot of money to get access, or you work for a university that has access, or a medical school or whatever. As far as guidelines for research, I don't think we have any formal, although that is my plan in adding to the module that's called practicum or coaching practicum and principles, that we have a section in there on research that I'm going to be adding.
Yeah, I'm partial to books anyways, but, you know, it's kind of nice to look up the latest articles.
Yeah, and it is hard because you don't get anything more than the abstracts for lots of them. I mean, there's some of them that have full PDF access and others that don't. So I don't know how to, you know, other than to just keep on looking, right, when you find a dead end. Or some of them you can get some decent information from an abstract, but sometimes the abstracts are kind of skewed. Because they're incomplete and it's hard to get really good information. Lynn's brilliant at research. Do you have any tricks?
You know, you've got the advanced topics and references. Mm. So I would encourage you to look at that as a source as well.
That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. At least as a jumping off space.
Yeah.
And there should be a spreadsheet, like Valerie said, there should be a spreadsheet already that lists all the assignments. And then there is another one that lists all the videos and how their length. So pulling that up should not be a hard
thing. Yeah, we just need to, I want to re, because we're revamping this, and I just want to make sure it makes more sense to give it to people once it's by unit versus by individual module. But yeah. We'll have all that access. My goal is to get all of that by the first of the year.
So is that going to change for the older students, like what we're used to going into the modules? Is that going to all be changed, or will it be the same for us?
You still should be able to. That's my intention, is to have, it's like basically two ways into a module. So if you've been in for a while and you've got access in a certain way, yes, you can still get in that way. And then, you know, the new people will get access in the new way. That's okay. The intent. That's the intent. That's what's been communicated to our developer.
Right. Yeah.
That and
would
so
be
far,
travel yeah. this
that point. Would be get you confused as all heck if you've been doing this, you know, and you're 27 modules in and you're like, where is everything? Right. No, that wouldn't be fair. Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah. Who is it?
That was me.
Oh, gee, Ellen. Okay.
That was the question I had, was about the different, you know, the old ones and the new ones. But how are we going to know what's new content that, you know, even if we're following the old one, what's going to be new content that we might want to explore?
New modules that have been added, you mean?
Well, new information in those modules.
So that's a good question. We're not adding any new information to the modules until we finish getting the restructure.
Okay.
And so if we do, we'll tell you.
Okay.
That's yeah. We'll make sure we tell you. If I say, oh yeah, I'm going to add like this research section to something, or I'm going to add this, then we would send an announcement out that says, hey, we just updated XYZ module with this particular content. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. I have long lists of things that I want to, you know, cause things, but you know, there's just 24 hours in the darn day and I haven't been able to figure out how to get past that. So
yeah. All right, I'll tell you, I'm taking a time mastery course, so
yeah,
anything. And so one of the things that struck me today when I was listening to this video was that when we write our to-do list, remember we're not alone. And so always look at your to-do list and know that you do not have to do it alone. So that was the one thing that stuck out to me.
I haven't found anybody yet that's willing to clean my dishes for me or do my laundry. So some of those things I have to do alone or not do. So actually I have. I doesn't always get done on time if you rely on other people, though. But no, that's a good point, right? Especially when you're running a business. Yeah, there's a lot to do. All right. Anybody else? Questions on that? Did we miss anything? Scroll down a little bit. Let's see. And then we're going to next steps. Yes. Okay, here we are. So choose one client and review his or her history, right? So you should have, by the time you get to this module, have at least a family member or somebody that has volunteered to be your client. And then in light of what you've learned about the food principles, outline the pros and cons of the various food plans for that person, right? Is this person a good paleo candidate? Is this person a good low histamine candidate? Are they displaying symptoms that maybe could be resolved if they were to temporarily avoid one of these particular areas? And I do want to say, always want to have the disclaimer, it's generally not the food's fault. It's generally that there's an imbalance in the body that the body's not able to handle it. If it's good stuff, right? Nobody should be able to handle hydrogenated oils without it hurting them, or, you know, exposures to glyphosate or things like that that are dangerous. But when good food hurts, it usually means there's an imbalance in the body that needs to be addressed. And that's an important thing to explain to people, right? The fact that your body can't tolerate these particular like histamines in this food means that some of your pathways for handling that are not working effectively. So let's see what we can do to shore up your anti-inflammatory and your antihistamine support. And yeah, there's genetic components there. So some people have to have lower intake of things. For some, you know, maybe they don't tolerate oxalates because they've been exposed for long enough and they have other things that have caused leaky gut, and it causes these constituents to get into the bloodstream and wreak havoc. So we always have to look at, it's not necessarily the food's fault. And yes, food restriction and removing sensitive foods is an important piece. It's a temporary first measure to get some of the load off and to relieve some of the assault. And then we have to go back and say why. Our favorite question, right? Why? Okay. Start or maintain a food journal for yourself, even. And note if there's any food reactions and how your energy is after consuming different foods. On a call earlier today that I was on with Valerie and Annette, Annette shared something that someone told her, which I thought was really a fun process that you can do with people. Is you have, you know, invite some people to lunch or have a virtual lunch on a Zoom call, right? And everybody brings their lunch and they eat certain foods. And then you show them, how do you test your blood sugar? How do you look at their pulse? How do you just tune in to where you feel? One of the folks she mentioned said he had a hunger ranking. How satiated are you? How full are you from 0 to 10? 10 being like Thanksgiving Day stuffed and 0 being pretty empty. And having what helped him a lot was that he always targeted to never go above 7 or 8 at a meal, right? And so you stop eating when you hit that 7 or 8. Usually if you hit 7 or 8 within 15 minutes, you're probably at a 10 anyway. And I had added an observation that maybe we should never let it go down to 0, because that's when, you know, the whole, everything goes out the door. All the willpower, all the determination you have not to eat crap goes out the window because you're so hungry. So like helping people to keep it in that meter. And so sitting down with people and really taking them through a process of observation. And that really gave me an idea of a piece that we can add to our programs, because a lot of times we teach people how to eliminate, and then the process of reintroduction, they're usually doing alone, right? Lynn said, we shouldn't be doing this stuff alone, right? They're doing this process of reintroduction alone, and they're not really having anybody around to bounce the ideas off of. So what if we could have food reintroduction parties, right? Online, and we could take people through these workshops of, okay, now let's have this. And how do you feel? What's your level here? How's your digestion feel? What's your pulse? And actually, instead of just giving them a chart to fill out, we actually be there with them. So that encouraged me and inspired me to come up with some ideas for maybe, you know, adding that to our programs. Because if you maintain a journal, then you know the pitfalls and you know the ups and downs, the benefits, but also the downsides. So as people are doing it, you relate. If you've never done a food journal, it's hard to deal with it when they say, oh, but it was so hard. And then experiment with the various food plans on yourself to become familiar. Like many of these I've tried on myself. Some of them I never made it past one day, but because I was like, nope, not that one, right? So try them on yourself and see how it works for you and see what the ups and the downs are. I've found what really does work for me. And oftentimes what you're going to find for people and yourself is this combination of a variety of food plans that makes the Lynn diet or the Valerie diet or the Martha diet, the Cindy diet, whatever. So all of that is really important. And then experiment and see how it goes. And that way you'll become familiar so you can coach your clients. And then submit cases related to personalized food planning for discussion. So we have our monthly case studies. And you can always write up somebody's case and let's discuss it. Well, we tried this low histamine and we tried this. And if you try all of these at the same time with anybody, they'll just leave. Like, it's insane because there's nothing left to eat, really, if you try to do all of these. I know a lot of people who are food phobic, and because this doctor over here said you shouldn't eat this, and this doctor over here said, and this writer over here, and this summit, and then they suddenly go, well, there's nothing left to eat except water. And then they can't even get to agree on what water. Is it alkaline water? Is it distilled water? Is it spring water? And so then there people are like, they're so food phobic that's where their sickness is coming from, is the fear, right? So we have to help people to know that we've got their backs. We're embracing them. We're going to share with them these different food ideas and help them to do it. I did a vital talk. And in fact, I'm going to put a note here to add the vital kitchen on food principles. And I don't remember which ones I did, but I did a vital demonstration. Like, here's how to make, you know, foods that are low this, and here's how to make foods that are low that. And I actually did at the end said, okay, I'm going to make foods that are low FODMAP, low histamine, low this, low that. So I took a bunch of them and combined it. And I actually did come up with one or two recipes. It wasn't all of them, obviously, but it was a whole bunch of them. So I'm going to add this to the advanced resources. Okay. All right. So then there's the exam. Before we go to the exam, could you click on where it says additional diets right below Weston Price? Yeah. I guess I could go back to doing it myself since hers is broken, but this is more fun. I like it this way. Somebody else is driving. I get to just be the backseat driver. Scroll down a bit. All right. So click the button to see how long that one is.
Okay, let's try this one.
That's right. Yeah, that's
they're
right.
Acting
they're
up.
They're not working now.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, so you know.
Yeah, I had this little chart over here. Oh, come on. This is 11. So you're wanting the FODMAPs. No. Weston Price, 30 minutes. Additional materials got, that's the talk.
No,
37 minutes.
37 minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was that one.
So it'll have, I don't even know what's in it, but it's just other diets that didn't qualify for having a whole talk on just that. And then there was one more after additional materials. I think that was
putting it all together.
That's what I wanted to see, but we're not going to see anything just because it's all busted.
Yeah. Anyway,
but, yeah, so I don't know how long that one is. But basically, it's like, now that you know all these things, how do you work with people? What? Is it working?
Yeah, that one was working. 24 minutes.
Okay. So now that you know, how do you put it all together? And then there's a discussion, you know, a Q&A part. How do you actually use this to create? And then go to the exam. We'll see how big the exam is.
I've already done my exam.
Oh. But it should still show it now.
It will.
It'll let you do it again if you want to. Because if you don't get a perfect score, then it'll let you go back and get another.
Okay, here's the exam.
Okay, there's the exam. How many questions is it?
25.
Okay, that's not bad. All right. Yeah, that's probably not complete enough. We're going to have to make that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So then when you're done, you take the exam and that's it, you know? So, you know, I think that's it's a fun module. It puts a lot of stuff together and in perspective. Of course, it's just another person's opinion. I did many of these, but also we had guest speakers on Ayurvedic diet. Jan Chamberlain did, and the macrobiotics, Lynn did. And I think it was the phenols, salicylates, histamines, and sulfur was Steph.
Steph.
Yes.
Yeah.
Steph did a couple.
She did a couple. She did that. Oh, SCD and GAPS, I think she did too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you have something that's like a specialty of yours that you want to contribute, you let us know and we can add a module for you. You know, has to be something you've been studying for a while. Yeah. So that's that. Any questions? What took you to the Vital Kitchen?
I put a link to that Vital Healing Kitchen show.
Oh.
On the unique.
Oh, I see it. Yeah.
Unique food, personalizing your diet to your unique.
I'm going to keep that open and I'll see if we can add that to it. Oh, it makes me log in.
Do you want me to stop share?
Yeah, you could stop share. Yeah. Thank you very much, Valerie.
You're welcome.
Well, yay. Okay, let's see if this works. Nope. Oh, there's something with Chrome that really bothers me is that it saves passwords, but if you change the password, it doesn't save the new one. It still goes back to the old one. So you have to go look up your password anyway. There I'm in, but I'm in the wrong site. Oh, well. Oh yeah, because you just gave me. So if I click this link again, it should take me to that Vital Health Topic talk. There it is, August 27th, 2016. I bet it won't play though. Yeah, it says video. It's the same thing. Something's happening. But anyway, take that link that Lynn put in there.
Yeah, I'm listening. I mean, I can see you talking. I have it muted, but
It's working for you?
Yeah, I'm on Firefox.
On Firefox. Oh, yeah. It wasn't working for Valerie. And it wasn't working for me. How weird. Click the link, Valerie, see if it works for you. I wonder if it's a Firefox versus Chrome thing.
And there are times when I can't get something to work on Firefox, so I have to go to Chrome.
I wonder if it's that makes me think it's some sort, they've changed some sort of security settings. And one of the browsers has got to be updated to take care of that. Does that work for you, Valerie? The link that she put in there? Is anybody else working? Mine just played. Okay.
Yeah, there's a few people who said it played.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. You read better without your glasses? Yeah.
It's working and I can't get it to stop.
Oh, okay. Yours worked. How come mine didn't? Something's screwy with my computer, I think. I'm hitting it. And when I went there, maybe it was just a temporary glitch.
The other thing, too, that you did several radio shows on personalizing your diet. You did one radio show with Dr. Greger. So that's something else to consider for the resources.
Okay, let me write down radio shows.
And yeah, because actually, what's her name? Donna from Body Ecology.
Donnie Gates.
Thank you. Yeah, she did one with you called the Gut Smart Gene Smart Diet radio show. So,
yeah. Yeah, there's probably a lot of stuff that we've done in different places that can be linked to, so you don't have to be going all over the place, you know, and link them to the specific modules. Then there's the advanced clinical resources pieces that we've been linking to some of the modules as we go through. So questions, comments? Was this semi-helpful even though we couldn't see anything? It's going to give me some work to do to try to figure out what's going on here.
Motivational, hopefully.
Yeah.
That you can do this.
So when we get this reorganized, we're going to have the unit that says functional nutrition mastery. And in functional nutrition mastery, it's going to have macronutrients, micronutrients, this module that we just looked at. And then a lot of the stuff, let me share my screen. I'll show you where a lot of the stuff is going to come from in there. That comes from a lot of stuff that comes from our Body Freedom Foundation's piece, because there's a ton of diet stuff in there. So we're going to have it like all lumped together into one unit that's related to food. Okay, so if we go here, there's a ton of stuff here. So teaching clients how to incorporate health promoting beverages, help your clients make recipes and meal planning, share body system specific healing protocols and food, teach clients about fats, how to choose the right carbohydrates, resources to teach them how to choose protein sources. Barbara had a question about this today, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants. And one thing I didn't tell you about that, Barbara, is on the ERC site, if you were to go to, if you were to go to the Body Freedom part, and you guys all have access to this, but you go to the fun, I mean the diet, sorry, I have fun on my mind. You go here, and then you can actually go here and do under understanding nutrients, there's a whole page on protein. So Barbara had some questions about protein. So vitamins. Oh, wait. Where's that? It's a separate sick. Here we go. Fats, proteins. Here we go. And there's a whole bunch of, you know, resources about protein. Because people are going to ask you that all the time. How do you get your protein? Assess your protein intake. And all of this is also on the site as from the perspective of you as a health coach versus you as a person for yourself. Right. And you have access to all of that already. You have access to the entirety of that stuff. So, okay.
I just found this. So maybe y'all knew it already, but so I was on the Chronometer site today and you can actually sign up as a practitioner and you pay a small amount and then you can create accounts for your clients with a Chronometer. So I just realized that today. I hadn't realized it before.
Did they say what the amount was? Because I knew that and I checked it out a couple of years ago and it wasn't a small amount. It was like, it was going to cost me $1,000.
Oh gosh, no.
That's why I said, I don't think so.
No. I'm looking at it now because I still
Maybe they changed it because it was like, that's cost prohibitive.
Well, at least what I looked at, it wasn't anything like that. Okay. Yeah, there's a starter plan up to 5 clients of $12.95 a month. There's a standard up to 25 clients for $50 a month. I didn't know if anybody else had used it.
I had looked at that, but I looked at it to get an account for all the ERC people, and I looked at that. Well, that's going to be,
that might be
right, yeah. And that would be So that's why I said it was over $1,000 to do, and then if people don't use it, then it's like, Anyway, I didn't do it. I figured everybody can get their own free account, and we can share. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was wondering if anybody here had done it and if they saw an advantage to it. I know it's what they're getting is the gold account.
Yeah.
And so,
which is 35 a year. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just didn't know if anybody had done it and found it to be advantageous or not.
I think with the gold account, you can actually do it. You can kind of cheat on it and you can just give somebody, you can put somebody's email address in and allow them to access your recipes and collection. So that's another way around it, I think. I haven't looked at it too much detail. I just started playing with it and I'm really loving it. And I want to save some recipes in there. You know, how are we doing? All right. Any more questions, comments, anything you guys need to know about, want to know about, want to talk about, any of those food principle areas that you want to have a little discussion on, I can go off the top of my head on.
And I'm happy to help with the macrobiotic stuff if anybody has a question there.
I was going to ask about the AIP diet. I didn't see it in the list. I know it's supposed to be temporary, but
it's supposed to be temporary, and I have a paper on it, and I'm going to look for it. I wrote a thing and a whole list on it, and it was in one of the shines. Let me find it. and I don't know that I did a presentation on it. I think I just did a paper on it, but I'll make sure that we incorporate it. Let me go back to it was Spring into Vitality, not Shines. So if you go to the Unstoppable, let me share my screen. If you go to the Unstoppable Health site, and I'm going to make a note to move it there. And you go to home. Oh, there's SIV home. And you find Spring into Vitality. And it was probably in the food as medicine one, which was detox. Food as medicine. That was my most recent. I'm pretty sure it was in there. And in the digital materials. You know, it's layers and layers deep, but there's one on autoimmune foods and organ. Okay, good. This is a good one too, the SIBO guidelines, and that's also should be a short-term one. Food and herbs reported to ensure. Here we go. Phase one autoimmune diet. There we go. Oh, I can't open it because of that, but I can give you the link.
Sure.
The problem we're having, whatever is happening is universal. So if I go like that and I say copy link address, and maybe you guys
It opened for me.
Something screwy on my computer. Mm-hmm. And Valerie's computer was doing some of it too. So I'm not sure if it's a Chrome thing or what. All right, let me move this over. Okay.
Good. I put the link for it in the
chat. Got it.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. So when I did on the other call earlier is I went into my back end, my FTP processor, if you know what that is, and I found the document and it opened it as a PDF, but not on the site. It opened it locally on my computer. So there's something screwy here. Oops, I just sent it to Valerie privately. Let me just, yeah, I think Lynn sent it too, so. Anyway, that will give you a lot of information about the autoimmune, because it is not a food religion type thing. And I think the way people do it, they get a little too extreme, and there's nothing left on that diet besides like fish. People are not eating much of anything, and there's no vegetables left, and there's no grains, obviously, and no nuts or seeds. And so it's a little overly restrictive. So I have in that document, I explain my process for figuring out how to do it in a phase one to try to calm down the immune system while you're working on it. Anything else?
And if you want to watch the video on it, it's day two, video number 6.
Oh, good. Okay, we'll see if we can move that one over. That'll be good.
So I've got a question because I'm working with this is Martha.
Hi, Martha.
Hey, since I'm just now working with somebody, so rather than just picking one of those diets, wouldn't we just, because the blood sugar's high, wouldn't we just do the sweet spot?
Yeah, absolutely. You're not going to randomly pick these diets. You're going to do a history and figure out what's going on. And if it's the person you shared last week, that person, do not pass go, do not collect $200, do not do anything until you work on her blood sugar. Because that's going to be the key to just about everything going on with that lady.
Okay. Well, that's
right. Anything else. Sure. Don't get
distracted. Trying to add something else. I don't think I'm ready for that. Or she is either. I'm just trying to eliminate the gluten, the dairy, the eggs, the corn.
all the stuff that we teach in there. What I tell people is start with that. That's the real obvious one for her. Her blood sugar was through the roof. Her, you know. So basically you do that. And then when you get to a point where you go, well, she's eliminated this, she's eliminated that, she's still having some issues, what's still going on? What might be a problem? And the, oh, maybe there is an oxalate sensitivity because it seems like every time she eats spinach, she gets flared. Okay, maybe it's oxalates. Let's just at least start with the removing the spinach, right? And that's all part of the elimination diet process. When somebody removes a bunch of stuff, they should feel better. If they don't feel better, then there's still some stuff that they're using or eating that's irritating them. Now, it could be that it has nothing to do with the food, that it has to do with the emotions and the environment. And maybe there's an energetic locked up from that food, from an exposure to that food early on that they, that needs to be resolved. But we start with horses. When we hear hoofbeats, we think horses, not zebras. But when we've eliminated that it's a horse, we go, okay, we're at the zebras, right? Let's look for the oddballs. A lot of times people learn a lot and they learn too much and they overcomplicate things by looking for the zebras right out. And really, this lady, there was no doubt about it looking at her that she needs to get her blood sugar under control.
Okay.
Yeah. Not to say there's nothing else going on, but I would say majority of it is probably linked to her blood sugar imbalance.
I believe that too. And that's what we talked about in our first call.
Good.
That I recorded. So,
good.
Okay.
Yay. You got it.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Who else? Anybody?
So kind of building on what Martha said, I use the information in here, not because I feel like I need to put them on that particular food plan, but because so many times they come to me and they're like, they're doing like the autoimmune paleo, or they're doing an SED or a FODMAPs. And because I know that, then that helps me to use language, number one, that they will understand. Yes. And to help them create their own unique health plan.
You know, that's a great point. And it brings up another point is you don't want to say, oh, you're on this diet. I don't think it's good. I think we need to get you off of it. But it's to understand it and explain to them this may or may not be the best for you. And let's explore to see if it is. And are you open to maybe adding a few things or taking some other things out that might still be hurting you? And you got to work with them where they're at. You can't just say, oh, I don't agree with that, right?
Yeah, it's and I'm not taking that diet away from them. We're looking, how does that work for you? You know, you had bone broth and you felt better, or you had bone broth and you didn't feel better. Right. It's like, how is that working for you?
Exactly. Here's,
it's a judgment-free zone.
Exactly.
So,
Yeah. Thank you. That's a really good point. Really good point. Who else? Anybody else? Let's see.
Well, just to add to that, I don't think a lot of, like, the person I'm working with, the realization that you eat this food, this is what happens, has got to occur to make that connection that food does change your body chemistry. It does either make you feel better or it's going to make you feel worse.
Yes.
And for so long, so many of us have just been so used to eating crap that we don't know that.
we
become really desensitized to our body. And then here we come in saying, well, let's eat some greens. And, you know,
may not be the best.
Right. So, you know, they're just eating iceberg to get them just to go to romaine is a big feat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's on my blog, I did a 3-part blog article a couple of years ago on when greens are not your friend. Like, what are situations where you may have to really look at that it's having a negative effect? And that's the reason we always want to eat consciously, and we always want to tune into how a food makes us feel, not to judge the food as good or bad, but to say, at this point, this particular food isn't sitting well, and then ask the question, why? Why is it not sitting well? So it's really important that way to look at it. There was something else at the beginning of what you said that made me think. Let's
I don't remember what I said.
Yeah, I don't remember what you said that triggered me to, I wanted to say something else, but it'll come back to me. Just really related to what is, what's the best for this person at this point in time? Not permanently. Not
but they have to make changes, right.
But they do have to make changes. And it's really important that we establish that, yes, food does make a difference. And just getting them to the point where they get that, right? And a lot of them already do because they're scared to death of food because they're all food phobic because they're feeling crappy, you know? But we need to help them make friends with food, make friends with their body so that their body's willing to accept the good food. But there are times when if somebody's got a ripped up intestinal lining and you're going to have them eat raw kale, you need to make them worse, right? And not good, right? So, but you have to help them to fix that lining before they can do it. There are people who come to me, you know, and I've been doing primarily raw foods for 35 years and it works great for me, but people come to me and they're raw foodists. They've been following blindly eating a raw food diet. And I'll go, you know what I need you to do? I need you to lightly steam your food for a month and blend it because your gut is not accepting this food and let's figure out. And they fight me because it's like, but raw food is better. Not in this particular case. If it's ripping you up and it's causing you to not absorb well, you're not getting the benefit from it. Right. So we have to just really sit with what we know. And that's why we study so much about how things work, what we know and what we know about them. And then help them make the best decision at this point in time. Right. At this point in time. Okay.
So I have listening to Martha reminded me of kind of a celebration. So my husband is always hearing me talk about this stuff, and he's a nurse in a nursing home. And, there was one of the residents who was, and she's type 2 diabetic, and she would shoot herself with insulin 3 times a day. And so my husband was talking to her kids and had said something a couple of times. And so her kids said, that's it. We're going to change your food. And now this woman is no longer on insulin.
That's awesome.
So, you know,
that's awesome.
So they do, you know, people, they're listening on some level.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, it's not falling on deaf ears the way you think it is. It just, sometimes it takes 4 or 5 or 6 times and 4 or 5 or 6 people and 4 or 5 or 6 different incidences for them to go, oh yeah, oh yeah. And then they go, wow, I wish I would have listened 6 years ago when somebody told me, but right. But you know, that hindsight is 20/20, right? As they say, you know?
Well, you just weren't ready then. And it may not have worked even if you had done it. Because
right. Exactly. Exactly. And we all come to what we need when we're ready, but we can be the beacons. And if you guys didn't, right before this, I did a Facebook Live interview. If you missed it, go back and listen to it. But you can use what we talked about, not just for creating, like Valerie and Annette and I were talking this afternoon about signature talk. Go back and watch my Facebook Live because we talked about, and there's a new resource that one of my favorite people in the world, Pete Vargas, he's just got this huge heart and he helps people to speak and get on stages in front of who they need. To speak to them and help them to create a signature talk. And a signature talk is hard for us who like to talk about everything, baby. I can talk about this and I can talk about that. But having this one talk that really represents you, that helps you to get people into your tribe who are ready for you. And he's doing a free workshop kind of thing, you know, starting on Thursday, I think it is. So I put the link. Actually, I think I have the link here. Let me find it. Yeah, here. Anyway, I'm going to go through it because he said it's all new material and I've learned so much from him over the years let's see if I can find it. Here it is. We'll see. Anyway, if you missed it, I would definitely recommend it because, he's just got this huge heart and he's really passionate about what we do because of the impact it's had on his family and getting his wife into remission from lupus, him losing 90 pounds. and his wife just had a baby after being told they'd adopted three. They were told they'd never have babies because she'd had a stroke. She had lupus, and there was one other thing, and they were never going to have a baby. So they adopted these three kids, and suddenly they discovered she was pregnant, and she just had 7 months ago, she just had a baby. So, and he attributes that to hearing someone with our message speak to him in his language. He says, you know, people talk functional medicine all the time, and I don't understand all these acronyms and all this other stuff. He said, it's like if I started talking to you about, and he started mumbo-jumboing about stage and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, we don't understand that. He said, you got to speak to them in their language. You got to hit them in their heart. And then they are aware. And he says, if I hadn't heard someone speak about this functional medicine stuff in a way that made sense to me, all these great changes wouldn't happen. So that we have to get out there. And whether we're talking to people on a big stage, whether you're talking in a little community center in your town, whether you're talking on a podcast, or whether you're just talking one-to-one, if you have your signature talk, your through line comes through everything you're speaking about, the essence of who you are, the essence of your passion, and the essence of how you can help, that's going to be what comes through. And there's all kinds of media for getting it out. Yeah. Exciting. Anybody else? Questions or comments before we call it a day?
Well, just to add to that, I've rejoined Toastmasters to work on my signature speech, and I have a captive audience every week.
That's awesome.
That, you know, they're going to be taught what I'm learning.
Exactly. And keep it, because I'm going to give you advice, because you're like, blah, me. Let me talk about this and talk about every time you can talk to them, you can talk about something different. Every time you talk to them, you talk about the same thing, because you always your through line coming through. Always that food line. Food is medicine. Food makes a difference. We need to find the exact right personalized food for you, whatever it might be. And then eventually they're going to hear you.
Okay.
Right? Because if you talk this week about digestion and this week about blood sugar and this week about this and this week about this, believe me, they're not going to know you as she's the one that helps me to get the right diet from me. That's going to help me to feel my best.
Keep it simple and focused.
Yes. And I heard you on that, because I could see you creating 15 talks before you go out and give any of them.
That's why I'm doing it, because I'm really trying to just streamline it to one foundation, and then I can add more bricks to my little house after that. But I'm
and
just
have
trying
things
to...
you're talking about, like phrases you're using over and over again, so they get used to it and they hear it from you. Like my freedom my pyramid thing. People like they hear that and over, and it's suddenly like, oh yeah, you're the one with that pyramid thing, right? You're a pyramid scheme. No, but that's what they say. And there's language that you use, and people get to know that that's who.
But then they know how to refer you if they hear it enough. Yeah.
Exactly.
Because there's not a doubt that then, like T.R. Garland's going to teach us, that we are the best at what we do.
At what you do, right? Like Lynn, somebody says to me, oh my God, I'm bone sucking tired. I know exactly the right person to send them to, right? You know, because she said that so many times. That's what I see her. Yeah. Somebody says, oh, my child has type 1 diabetes and I'm not sure what to do. I know exactly who I'm going to send them to. I'm going to say, you got to go to Annette. I made a referral to somebody on an airplane once, to Annette, right? Because it was just, I know who she is, who she helps, right? It wasn't like she was born saying, I'm going to help type 1 diabetic moms of type 1 diabetic people. No. She just happened into that situation in unfortunate circumstances, right? And she was able to turn it around. And so now that's what we know her for, right? If somebody has gut microbiome and they're like, I've tried every probiotic on the market, I just don't think it's going to work for me. But who am I thinking of?
Stephanie.
Yeah, exactly, right? So we get used to that, right? And we want to be known for something. I don't know what I'm known for. It's like I'm the everything queen. So I need to, but it's worked so far, but it worked for me because I wasn't in a crowded space when I started. And now it's a very crowded space.
Well, right. I think it's true that people understand you better. Doesn't mean you're limiting yourself that you can do more
things. I'm limiting myself. Yeah.
Right. But then if they can start with, oh, she specializes in arthritis, diabetes. So that's why I'm doing it. No, it's a wonderful personal skill thing.
Yeah. No, it's great to do. It's great to do Toastmasters. I was on a podcast being interviewed today and she said, what are we going to talk about? You're so good at this and you're good. And she like named everything. And I'm like, let's just pick one. Right. So we picked, she wanted to talk about heart math and the relationship to blood sugar balance and the relation. I'm like, perfect. You know, cause I love talking about that stuff. But what is it that you want to be known for from the get go? Because it's a crowded place right now.
I'm actually working on that too. You know, so like you said, my people that I'm directing my message to tend to be these busy moms, and they are bone sucking tired. And so the workshop that I'm working on it's basically three secrets to what you can include in your life to give yourself more clarity. I'm trying to remember what I wrote, clarity and energy. And it's just simple things like movement and water and breathing. You know,
it's interesting. We were talking about that today on our practice accelerator call, and like between what Valerie said with hers and then Annette said, and I'm like, okay, guys, we're all saying similar things. We say it differently. I said, when I did my signature talk thing, it came out to, I wanted this alliteration. So I had the three M's, right? Mindset, menu, and movement, right? And they're all like the same thing. How can we say it to people in a way that they hear it, that it fits them? You're not going to give these bone-sucking, tired, busy women like train for a triathlon.
Yeah.
Excuse me? Walk to the mailbox. And then, you know, walk up the street two houses and back, and now you've had your exercise for today, right? Yeah. Something they can do and be good at. But if we can come at it from a way that the people who we want to reach are resonating with our message, right? Yeah. You may want to do corporate for Barbara, right? You came from not corporate, educators, right? Because you came from an educator environment. What are their thoughts? How are they thinking? What are their limitations, right? And so if you do a program that's geared towards that, like Debbie Bartz, she's like, what is my niche? I'm like, duh, you're an airline pilot. You travel all over, you carry all your little things. You know exactly how to, you know, stay healthy in the face of all this horrific travel. Duh, airline pilots and flight attendants. Yeah. That's your niche, right? So it's usually right here. It's just sitting right here and you're going, duh, who should I work with? Right? They're sitting right here. Just look.
Yeah. For me, reader roommate, for me, you are the queen of pulling everything all together and teaching people how to find what works for them. I mean, you're the first person I've ever heard really express that well, where it was understandable.
Thank you. There we go. Yeah. That's what I say over and over again. So that's, I'm going to own that.
Yeah.
You know, redo my signature talk to really own that message. You are not a diagnosis. You are not a piece of paper, like a food plan on a piece of paper. You are unique. And we're going to come up with the Barbara diet for you. And we're going to come up with the Lynn diet for you. Yep. Cool. Thank you. Thanks for clarifying that. Yeah. Cool.
And you said something that triggered something in me, so I wrote it down as a possible title, and it's three secrets to go through your busy day and still be awake at the end.
Oh,
because honestly, that's how it's just like, can I just get through the end of the day?
Yes. Yeah. To make it to the end of the day with your eyes open or something
with
like that.
Exactly.
Snappy. Because it was too long for the person in that situation to read that sentence. They're like, I can't even make it to the end of your sentence, let alone the end of the day.
Yeah.
Right? Three secrets to make it to the end of the day with your eyes still open.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because they don't want a complicated food plan, and they don't want a complicated menu plan, and they don't want a complicated exercise plan. They just want a few steps that they could do to get started, feel better, and then they'll add more and more and more. And we always, that's part of what we do. We have to sit with people and figure out what is the one, two, or three things that we can get them started on right away that's going to make a difference. I remember one situation, Lynn, when someone called in, she was in like the IRSPT program or something, and she had a brother, and she called in to say how her brother was supposed to have foot amputated or surgery, or I can't even remember the exact situation, but it was a dire situation. And she told the brother, she said, I'm at the beginning of this program. She said, what the heck? Try having some chia porridge every day for breakfast.
Oh, yes.
Right. Remember? With, yes. I don't remember the exact circumstances.
Yeah. No, that, yeah, it was her next door neighbor, actually. And he was actually in the hospital. And it was like, it was more dire. It was like life or death. And she said, just try having this chia porridge every day, every day. And it was like less than, it was like 3 or 4 days later, and he's hopping around, and they sent him home just because she, and she heard it from a talk you gave on chia porridge. Yeah.
So simple things like that. Now, here's the thing. There's a lot more layers under that, right? Because we go, stop eating this and stop eating that. And she didn't say anything. She just said, have this. Well, after he finished the chia, he didn't have room for his bacon and eggs and you know, toast and orange juice, right? He just had room for that. And suddenly he's on an elimination diet, doesn't even know it. And now he's eating all this extra nutrition. Like simple things you never know that are going to make people, we don't give them the long, complicated menu plan when they first walk in. It's too complicated. One thing at a time. Okay? We got it. We're changing the world. You realize this?
Together.
Together. Because we need to be together. Remember I had that thing, the mission possible, right? Together goes from mission impossible, take off the M, and it's mission possible. Alone, kind of hard. I can't lift those two letters out. It's too hard. But together, we do it. And we make a road. We make inroads into this broken healthcare system, medical system, which every day I learn something new that somebody tells me that I'm just horrified. It was on one of these calls the other day that they missed that this person was diabetic. Whose was it? Like, oh yeah, we're working on your hormones. Here's your bioidenticals. Whose was that? I forget who did that. We're working on your bioidenticals. Here's your bioidenticals. And she looked at the lab and she says, this person's diabetic. They didn't look at that. They didn't even tell this person that she was diabetic with an A1C of 12, by the way, not just like a borderline diabetic. Right. So these are the things that are happening. Valerie, I'm sure you could tell us horror stories from your work in the hospitals as a nurse, right? It's happening all the time. And I don't even think we're aware of how bad it is in some regards. Like we're just like 2 weeks into this program and we know not to do that. But it's just the blinders are on. And that's where we come in to be really be able to help people and save them from the medical system and help them to actually live life. Yeah. One of my colleagues said, and I love the way he phrased this. He said, the neurosurgeon or some kind of surgeon. He goes, I used to get so tired of every day. All I was doing was postponing death for these people. I wanted to help them to really live. And he jumped the boat and got into functional medicine. I want to give life to people. I don't want to postpone death. I want to help them to have life. And that's what we do. Right.
We educate people with all of that. I had someone come to me. She wanted me to take her through a juice fast. And for some reason, the radars went up in my head. And I said, well, let's take a look first. And there was something about her blood labs that didn't look good. And then I had her do a Dutch test. And I said, you've got all these, you know, your cholesterol and triglycerides are not good. But also... some of the markers in her Dutch tests weren't good. And I said, you are insulin resistant. She goes, no, my doctor always says, and it's a functional medicine doctor, that my blood sugar is just fine. I said, well, do me a favor, go and talk to them and see. And sure enough, the doctor goes, huh, look at that. You are insulin resistant. Let's put you on metformin. I was like, oh, that's not quite what I'm
going. Well, maybe the metformin isn't exactly what you need right now. Let's do something else. But at least they recognized. Yeah.
Right. And actually, the doctor told her, I said, yeah, she may have just saved your life because her, you know, her cholesterol was just so slowly sneaking up that her doctor didn't catch it.
That's the thing. When you go through the lab section, those of you who haven't been through it, we're looking for trends. We're not just looking for black or white. We're not just looking for in the range or not. We're watching trends. We're watching trends from 1 year to the next. As it goes up, still in normal range, we're also looking at comparative. Huh, why is the iron going up and the ferritin going down? That doesn't make sense physiologically, and you'll know that more as you learn it, right? Why is this going up and that going down, or this going sideways? And that's the stuff that they're not catching, and that's the stuff that makes a huge, huge, huge difference, and that's we can catch.
I was able to tell the client we worked, did the lab work, because she really doesn't want to believe that her sugar went from 138 to 170. She believes it's just all because of what she ate 2 weeks before her lab test. And, you know, and there was something that Dr. Alan Hopkins said during the SHINE conference.
Well, that BA1C the last 2 weeks is the most. Yeah.
Right. But I said, but I was able to say, but no, this is a trend because it went up and it didn't go down. And it was really impressed her that I said that, you know, you got a pattern here because it should have gone. Why didn't it go 138 to 120 and, you know, it went up because of something you're doing in your habits.
Right.
And that's what we have to talk about every time we talk. What are your habits?
Exactly. Good. Yeah. And it's going to take some doing. It's harder when they have a doctor, especially if they have a functional medicine doctor that's given them bad advice, because they're like, but you're a functional medicine. That my doctor's a functional medicine doctor. Who are you? You know, how do you know this stuff? But
and that's been kind of that's been the obstacle that's in that plan, you know, the obstacle that keeps coming up that you're not a doctor. So what I'm saying is, but yes, I'm a consumer and I know how to take care of myself. And that's what I'm teaching people, to learn how to take care of themselves, because you don't have to like go to the store and buy something because you saw a commercial. You don't have to go to the doctor and take something because he tells you to. Right. And then I give the story of I went for a checkup and my mother would happen to be dying around that time. And the doctor asked me, are you okay? And I said, well, other than that, my mother's going to, you know, has about 5 months or less to live. And right away she said, oh, well, let me write your prescription
for Ambien or something. Yeah.
And I said, why would you do that? She said, well, you're going to have some grief and be sad. And I said, but I want to feel that grief. I had, you know, that's normal. So then I learned that, and I tell people, when you go to the doctor, just say, if you're going to take that route, just say yes or no. Don't give them any information, because they're going to write you a prescription if they have any inkling that you might need to be on an antidepressant.
And you know what you can do with those prescriptions?
Tear them up?
You don't necessarily want to do it in front of their face, although Lynn's probably done that a few times. But you do that and you just, it's on record. They gave you the prescription. You don't have to take it.
But you don't really want it on record, because I know another time.
No, not necessarily. But sometimes if you don't take it, then they'll write AMA, right? They'll write, you know, that. And then the insurance company comes in and says, we're not going to cover you anymore because you disobey doctor's orders. So, you know, there's some.
It affects you for life insurance, too, because then they think it's something that's become unmanaged because you're not going back.
Exactly. I mean, it's not a pretty picture. I just avoid all doctors anyway. I just don't go.
Right. That was a while ago. But yeah. It was like
20 years since I've been to anything except for the broken arm.
Yeah. But if people are still going, I tell them to be careful about the language they use and what they say. And some things that you do have ownership of, not
and
the disease.
Educating them, right? Just feeling it out to see, because we need to, what I look at it is, it's a sandwich approach to change this, right? We need to have people who are requesting, demanding the kind of support that we give. And we need to have practitioners who are giving it. So that's the way we're going to change it, the demand and then the supply. So we're training people to be able to supply it, but we have to train people to be asking for it.
Right.
Yep.
So just like when I had my surgery and my doctor, you know, my surgeon, he was just like, you know, flabbergasted because I was like, you know, I don't want any pain medicine. I don't want any antibiotics. I don't want any of this normal stuff, you know? And so like the last time I went and saw him and he's like, yeah, you're the only one I've ever seen that didn't have any pain medicine after the surgery. So it's like, it can be done. Yeah. You just have to stand up for yourself mm-hmm. and show other people, like in for this program, you have to show other people it can be done. There mm-hmm. are other alternatives. Exactly. You don't have to just take a pill because somebody tells you to.
Exactly. And that's what I think the future of healthcare is empowered self-care. The more everybody knows about how their body works and is willing to stand up for, this is what I want, this is what I don't want, with education, right? That's what we can do, is to educate them. You don't want some uneducated person to say, no, don't give me that, whatever. And then meanwhile, they're, you know, totally infected and they're going to bleed out or whatever. So it's education. So we all know, and parents need to be educated so that they can take care of their children properly. Right. You know, and it can sometimes cause crazy stuff back from the kids when they're overeducated. Like my son writes to me the other day, Mom, I know I'm a hypochondriac, but you know, my fingers are tingling after I started a heavy lift, whatever, tricep stuff. I'm like, oh, I think I have nerve damage. I'm like, oh, it might be nerve impingement from something in the way you're moving and the heavy movement and blah, blah, blah. And he says, yeah, but that's not the only thing. I'm not sweating anymore. I think I might have early signs of Parkinson's. He's 25. Dr. Google, to the rescue. I think I might have early signs of, I'm like, honey, okay, first of all, you're not a hypochondriac. You're just a very educated person who analyzes. So I don't want him to think he, and then he went, how long is this lack of sweating going on? Oh, it started today. Okay. And when did this thing with the tingling in the hand started? Oh, when I started lifting heavy again. Okay, so we went through this whole process and then I said, go to the sauna. Tomorrow, go to the sauna and just sit there for 10 minutes. And if you don't sweat, let me know. Let's talk about it. Get out and immediately take a shower to cool yourself down. He goes, oh, I'm sweating again. You know, I don't think I'm worried about it anymore. Like Parkinson's. Like, so when they know a lot and they're empowered, he's like listening to every piece, right? Which is good, right? He notices, no, my hands shouldn't be tingling. No, I should sweat when I'm in the heat. And so there must be something going on. It's good, but we just need to, you know, more and more people need to be able to do that, say, not like I have Parkinson's and I'm 25, but he could have been right. So I said, oh, do you have any constipation? Do you have any tremors? So I went through some of the true early signs of Parkinson's and he said, no. So he felt better. But yeah, we need to educate, right? My kids got crazy educated from the time they were little teeny tiny things. But we'd always say, I'd always say, oh, mommy, my tummy hurts. I go, okay, let's ask your computer what's going on. So just take some breaths and ask your body, what do I need right now? And suddenly he'd go, oh my God, I have to go to the bathroom. He'd go to the bathroom. He'd come back out and he'd go, oh, I'm fine now. My tummy doesn't hurt anymore. Like from the time he was three. So it's educating kids, like not, oh, you have a headache? Oh, here, let me give you an aspirin. Right? It's no, let's see what happened. And then you find out they just bumped their head because they fell off their bunk bed and now they have a headache, right? So it's good stuff. It's good stuff. So we're all in the right place and I appreciate you guys so much. And let's have a great night. We made lemonade out of lemons because we didn't have access to our site, but we had fun anyway. So thank you. And thank you, Valerie, for helping out with that. And we'll figure out what the heck's going on with the site. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you all.
Yeah.